Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Even if you hate to get out of bed in the morning, I bet you'll be out like a shot for the breakfast treat that's shot from guns. Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice. It's the best waker-upper there is. Try it tomorrow. And today, in a few minutes, get in on a terrific offer. A prospector's tent plus a genuine camp stove. Have paper and pencil ready. Sergeant Preston was on duty when the young miner entered Northwest Mounted Police headquarters in Dawson. It was obvious that he'd just come in from the trail, and he was dead tired. The sergeant motioned to the chair beside his desk.
Sit down.
Thanks.
What can I do for you?
I'm here to report a murder.
A murder? Where?
Happened a long way from here. A little town called Caribou. It's where Caribou Creek flows into the Indian River.
I know the place. Who was murdered?
His name was Red Barnett, the owner of the cafe in Caribou.
Who killed him?
I did.
You did?
Yes, I want to make a confession.
You should be warned. Anything you say will be taken down and used as evidence against you.
I want to confess. I want to tell you everything that happened.
What's your name?
Larry Summers.
Where do you live?
I have a claim near the headwaters of the Indian River. I was on my way here to register it, and I stopped at Caribou overnight. After supper, I walked over to the cafe. It was practically deserted, only three men there. The owner, Red Barnett, a man with a black beard, his name was Jonathan Steele, and an Indian they called Charlie. I didn't like any of their looks, so I took my drink and sat down at a table in the corner. A few minutes later, a woman came in, a young woman. She was pretty, but her eyes were red. You could tell she'd been crying.
Red, I want to talk with you.
Well, go ahead, Mary. You're among friends.
Friends?
Well, you're among my friends. You know Jonathan Steele, Charlie? Anything you want to say to me, you can say to them.
I want to see that note you say Jim signed before he died.
You've already seen it once.
I want to see it again. I don't believe Jim ever signed it. I think it's a forgery. I think you're trying to steal my mind. You're crooks, that's what you are.
That's enough of that talk.
Crooks. I'll say it again.
Well, you're getting out of here.
Easy, brother. Take your hands off her.
Hey, mind your own business, stranger.
I said take your hands off her.
What? I'll teach you to meddle. No.
That suits me.
I'd say the fight lasted about 10 minutes. Red was bigger and stronger than I, but I could punch faster, and finally I hit him on the button, and he went down as if he'd been poleaxed. Well, Steele and the Indian carried him back to his living quarters at the rear of the cafe, and I took the girl out to her sled. She told me her name.
Let's have it.
Mrs. James Corwin, Mary Corwin.
Where does she live?
Cabin on Indian Creek, near the Last Chance mine they'd been talking about. She told me all about her husband being killed in a cave-in, and I told her that I'd do what I could to help her out if she went to law about the note. Then I went back in the cafe and found Jonathan Steele waiting for me.
Well, mister, you're in trouble.
You can't make any trouble for me. Charge me with assault if you like, but Mary will testify that Red swung first.
The charge isn't assault, it's murder.
Murder?
Red Barnett is dead.
But that's impossible. A punch on the jaw?
He had a bad heart. The punch and the fall were enough to kill him.
Is there a doctor in town?
No. There's nothing a doctor can do for him. He's dead.
Is there a police officer around?
In Caribou? The nearest police office is in Dawson.
Oh, what's to be done about it? Shall I go there and give myself up?
You know, it's a shame you should be charged with murder. Red had no right to get rough with Mary. And he did hit you first. It's a shame we can't forget about the fight completely. Who knows? Red might have died anyway.
But as it
Mary
is...
Mary would never testify against you. That leaves the Indian Charlie and myself. How much money do you have on you?
Money? Why, are you suggesting...
I'm not suggesting anything for myself. But for $500, Charlie could be persuaded he never saw a fight in here tonight. And I could tell the people in town Red died during the night of a heart attack.
You'd do that?
To give you a break? Of course I would. I'd do it in a minute if it weren't for Charlie.
I don't have $500. A little over $300, that's all.
You stay here. I'll have a talk with him.
Well, Sergeant, Steele came back in a few minutes and told me it was all right. Charlie could be bought for $300. I gave him the dust and left town the same night. But on the way here, I decided I'd never rest easy if I didn't tell the whole truth and get it off my conscience. So, here I am. I suppose I'm under arrest.
You're in custody. But there's a great deal that must be done before any charge can be placed against you.
What, Sergeant?
I must have more than your word that a crime's been committed.
Well, Steele told me
that... Steele must tell me, and also explain his acceptance of a bribe to suppress evidence. Since there's no doctor in Caribou, I must take the coroner with me to examine the body of the deceased and establish the cause of death.
You're going to Caribou?
Of course. You'll stay here tonight, and tomorrow you'll travel with us. We'll leave the first thing in the morning.
Doc Monday, the coroner, drove his own team, hoping that he wouldn't be detained long in Caribou. As a result, the party made good time. Reached Mary Corwin's cabin on Indian River the evening of the second day.
Looking! Hi-ho!
We'll stop here and question Mrs. Corwin before we drive into town, Doc.
It suits me. Steele kept his word. She may think Red died during the night after the fight. Or she may not even know he's dead.
We'll see. Let me do the talking.
Right, Sergeant.
Mrs. Corwin?
Yes?
Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Larry, they've caught you.
May we come in?
Oh, of course.
This is Dr. Monday, Mrs. Corwin.
How do you do, Doctor?
How do you do, Miss Corwin?
We're here to investigate the death of Red Barnett.
I know. Jonathan said he was going to notify the police. But it wasn't Larry's fault, Sergeant. Red started the fight. You can't call it murder.
What gives you the idea Larry might be held responsible?
Well, Jonathan accused him. I thought he sent word to you by Charlie.
Did Jonathan tell you that Barnett died as a result of the fight?
Yes. He said Red never recovered consciousness. That he died a few minutes after I left the cafe, and that after Larry found out about it, he ran away.
So he took my money and then double-crossed me.
As I understand it, Mrs. Corwin, you came to the cafe...
Sergeant Preston questioned Mrs. Corwin, and her story was substantially the same as Larry's. Until the sergeant had progressed beyond the night of the fight.
When did you learn that Barnett was dead?
The following day. I drove into town for supplies.
Did you see the body?
Not exactly.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, when I heard the news, I went to the cafe. Jonathan and Charlie were there. They'd made a coffin, and it was nailed shut.
When did the burial take place?
There wasn't any burial.
Oh, you mean the body's still at the cafe.
That simplifies my work.
No, that isn't what I mean. As I understand it, Charlie took the body to the old Indian pyre in the forest and burned it.
That does it. I've made this trip for nothing.
Sorry, Doc.
Well, so have you, for that matter. If I can't certify death was caused by violence, you have no murder charge.
I'll have to go through with the formalities, take the testimony of everyone who saw the body before the coffin was closed.
Everyone? That's just Jonathan and Charlie.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You never saw the body, Larry?
No.
And we have only Jonathan and Charlie's word that Red Barnett's dead. Mary, after the fight, you saw Red lying on the floor. Was he breathing?
Why, I don't know.
Larry?
He was still alive then. He turned his head and groaned.
Doc, suppose you and I pay this funeral pyre a visit this evening.
Perhaps we should.
Will you take us there, Mary?
Of course.
Yes. There may be some work for me to do after all. There should be some evidence of something.
All right, Doc. Let's go.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Sergeant Preston, wouldn't you say that any fellow or girl who likes outdoor life has a lot in common with you Mounties?
That's very true. I always get a thrill out of cooking a meal under the open sky and crawling into my tent after a long day on the trail.
And say, fellas and girls, that's an experience you can have the whole summer if you act now.
For a limited time, friends of Sergeant Preston can get a marvelous prospector's tent and a genuine all-metal camp stove.
A complete Sergeant Preston camping outfit offered by swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Just think of the fun you can have with a prospector's tent of bright green, sturdy plastic that's waterproof.
It stands 4.5 feet high, is 3 feet square at the base, and has a flap to close it up snug and tight.
You get the tent, tent poles, stakes, everything you need to set it up easily in just a few minutes. Outdoors or in the house.
And you'll hardly believe your ears at this. All you send for this exciting prospector's tent is $1 and a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice.
If you hurry, you can also get a genuine all-metal camp stove.
Yes, a real camp stove that works. It's not a toy.
On the top section, you can fry hamburgers, hot dogs, bacon, and eggs.
In the Dutch oven, you can bake potatoes, biscuits.
Over the broiler, you can cook cocoa, soup, beans.
There's a firebox to fill with twigs, charcoal, or canned heat for fuel.
And you can get this complete four-piece camp stove, including handy combination stove tongs and cooking fork, for only 50 cents. And a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice.
Now, to get both tent and stove, the whole Sergeant Preston camping outfit, send 2 box tops from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice and $1.50.
Here's the address to write down. Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
With your order, you'll get a little booklet that tells you how to get the most out of your camping outfit, with tips for safe camping and cooking.
What's more, if you aren't completely satisfied with your prospector's tent and camp stove, you get your money back.
For full details of this offer and a handy order blank, look at grocers right away, tomorrow, for the special new packages of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
For the prospector's tent, send 1 box top and $1.
For the camp stove, send 1 box top and 50 cents.
For both tent and stove, send 2 box tops and $1.50.
Now, this amazing offer is only for a limited time, so get going.
Don't miss out. Send right away tonight to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now to continue. As the ghostly reds and greens of the northern lights flashed across the sky, the doctor climbed to the top of the rock which served the Indians as a funeral pyre. There was evidence of a recent fire, and the doctor examined the ashes. At last, he climbed down to where the sergeant and the others were waiting.
Well, Doc?
Here.
Well, these are nails.
That's all I found, outside of a few pieces of charred wood.
Then your conclusion is?
That someone may have burned a coffin up there during the past week. But there was nothing in it.
You're certain?
Absolutely.
It's late now. I'll take you home, Mary. Then Doc and Larry and I will drive into town and get rooms at the inn. I'll see Jonathan Steele tomorrow.
The following morning, the sergeant made inquiries. And then he and King walked down the main street toward Jonathan Steele's cabin. They saw a man come out of the woods at the far end of town who also seemed to be heading for the cabin. The sergeant placed a restraining hand on King's head.
Easy, boy.
They waited a few minutes until Steele had entered the cabin. And then they continued on to the door.
This is it.
Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Sergeant Preston?
That's right. May I come in? I have some questions.
Surely. Take the chair by the stove. I'll build up the fire.
All right. My questions are about Red Barnett.
When did you get here, Sergeant?
Last night.
And you're stopping at the inn. I see.
They told you what happened.
The proprietor told me all he could. You've accused the young miner of murder.
Well, now, Sergeant, I'm not sure I went that far. But if I did, I withdraw the accusation.
You don't?
There was a fight, but Red started it, so the most Larry Summers can be charged with is manslaughter.
Uh-huh. Did you get rid of the body in order to earn the money Summers gave you?
What?
He's made complete confession, and he's testified that he gave you $300 to hold your tongue.
Now, that's a lie.
Why did you have the body cremated?
Why, because it's impossible to dig a grave when the ground is frozen hard as a rock. That's my only reason, and it's a good one. If you want to prosecute me, go ahead.
I'm not the prosecutor. I'll see what he thinks of your reason. However, before I can make a complete report to him, I must have more information about the dead man. Do you have his papers?
They're right here. In this folder.
If you please.
There aren't many, as you see. Notes signed by Jim Corwin.
That figures in the case. I haven't heard the details of Corwin's death. How did it happen?
The Last Chance is an old mine. One of the old tunnels collapsed on him, that's all.
And if Mrs. Corwin can't pay this note by the first...
I shall attach the mine in the name of Registered.
Who inherits the estate?
I do. Here is his will.
Oh, yeah. All my property, both real and personal.
There isn't much. A few thousand on deposit with the Yukon Trading Company. What little I can get for the cafe. Some gold dust in the safe.
And the mine.
More than likely the mine.
Which could be worth a fortune.
It wouldn't bring much at the present moment.
But you're Red's only heir.
Why not? I was his only friend.
I see. Well, that seems to be all for the moment, Steele. Thank you for your cooperation.
What are you going to do?
About what?
Well, about Summers, about Red's death.
Doesn't seem to be much I can do.
Yes, well, that's exactly the way I figure it.
Well, good day, Steele. Come along, King.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Now, King, you and I are going to take a walk in the woods. But just in case Steele is watching us, we'll go back to the inn first.
From the rear of the inn, the sergeant and King circled through the woods to the point where they had seen Jonathan Steele leaving it. There, the sergeant pointed to the fresh tracks in the snow.
At the scent, boy. We're following his back trail.
King understood and led the sergeant on, deep into the forest. Half an hour later, as they neared a clearing, King growled. Through the trees, the sergeant could see a small cabin. There was a man outside it chopping wood. The man had red hair.
Quiet, boy. That must be Red Barnett, and Jonathan Steele must have been here this morning. What we have to find out is why they want the world to think Barnett's dead.
The sergeant and King returned to town and found a note from the doctor waiting there.
Murray Corwin's been here. There's a man at her cabin badly wounded. I've gone to take care of him, and Larry's with me. The Last Chance mine, King, and a wounded man there. That's something we have to investigate.
The team was harnessed with King in the lead, and the sergeant drove down the Indian River to Mary Corwin's cabin.
Okay. Hi, Husky.
Mary heard the dogs and opened the door.
Good morning, Sergeant.
Hello, Mary. Who's the wounded man?
His name is Hank Smith. He used to work for Red, but he left Caribou about 2 weeks ago.
That was when your husband died.
Hank left shortly afterward.
That's so? How badly is he wounded?
The doctor can tell you more than I. He's in the bedroom.
Was Hank conscious when he got here?
No, I heard someone groaning outside. I found him lying in the snow, shot through the chest. I got him inside, did what I could in the way of bandaging him, and then I went for the doctor.
Let's have a look at him.
Hello, Sergeant.
Hello, Larry. Has he been talking any?
Not yet. The doctor's giving him a hypodermic.
I see. How about it, Doc?
It's serious.
Any chance of his talking? Enough to tell us who shot him?
He may come out of it a little now. I've removed the slug. It's on the table.
Ah. Could be from a rifle.
That's my guess.
Mary?
Yes, Sergeant.
Do you know this man well?
He isn't a friend. I've never liked him, but I've known him ever since Jim and I came here about a year ago.
Any idea why he left town?
No, nor why he's come back. He just disappeared. I wasn't interested enough to ask why. As I told you, it was shortly after Jim died.
That's what I'm thinking about. Is there any possibility that your husband's death wasn't accidental?
The tunnel collapsed.
Where were you when it happened?
Right here.
The mine isn't far away.
Oh, I heard it.
Just what did you hear?
Well, it sounded something like an explosion.
That's interesting.
When I got to the mine, the entrance had caved in. I tried to dig through the rubble, and then some men came along, and they helped me. But when we finally reached Jim, it was too late. He was dead.
Who were the men who helped you?
I've forgotten who got there first.
This man?
He was one of the first.
He may be coming, too.
Miss Corwin. Miss Corwin.
Speak to him, Mary.
All right. Yes, Hank. What is it?
Red killed him. Killed Jim.
What?
How could Red Barnett have killed Jim Corwin?
I saw him set off the blast.
And why haven't you said anything about it before?
Red paid me $1,000 to go away.
Why have you come back?
He promised me more. $1,000 a month. Said the mine was worth millions. He had a plan to get it.
The note was forged.
I heard he was dead. Came back to find out. Charlie saw me in the forest. Shot me. And I got away. Done for now. Get them. Charlie. Steele. Red. They're all in on it. Killers.
Doc?
He's gone.
A blackmailer doesn't deserve anything better.
Red paid him money.
It's all clear now. This man saw Red set the blast that killed your husband. He collected $1,000 for his silence and expected more. With the help of Steele and Charlie, Red faked his own death so he wouldn't have to pay anymore. And all Red's money goes to Steele.
But we aren't sure Red is alive.
I am. What? I saw him this morning.
Where?
In the forest. King and I are going after him.
Hank's dead, though, and we only have his
words. The last words of a dying man are admissible as evidence in any court of law. Red and his confederates are heading for the gallows. I'll see you later.
Red Barnett made sure who was knocking before he opened the door of his cabin.
Charlie, why have you come here in the middle of the day?
Hank, come back.
Oh, what of it?
Him find you.
No, there's not a chance.
One time him live this cabin. Me see him in woods. Come this way. Me shoot.
You killed him?
Me hit him. But him run. Get away.
Well, do you think he made it back to town?
Maybe so. Me afraid go close to town.
And a good thing. You better clear out.
Where you want Charlie go?
It doesn't matter. You've shot a man. And if they find you, they'll put you in jail.
When we see Hank, me afraid him come back. Tell about Jim.
You'd mind at that. Yeah. He thinks I'm dead and there's no chance to collect any more blackmail. Well, I'm in the clear anyway. I'm dead.
You're under arrest in the name of the Crown.
Come on.
You're covered. Drop your gun belt.
Sure.
I'll take them.
But what's the idea? What do you mean I'm under arrest?
The charge is murder, Red. And Charlie is under arrest as your accomplice.
Murder? Why, it's more like suicide, isn't it? I've only killed myself.
We have Hank Smith's word. You set the blast that killed Jim Corwin. You faked your own death so you wouldn't have to pay Hank any more blackmail.
Well, if you take that polecat's word
I'll take the word of a dying man before yours any day, and so will a jury. You're going to jail. So is Charlie, and so is Jonathan Steele.
You may be wrong about that.
Get him, Steele!
The sergeant saw the shadow at the window and dropped to the floor just as Steele fired into the cabin. The sergeant fired back and the man at the window clutched his shoulder.
Guard these men, King.
The sergeant threw open the door, but Jonathan Steele was crumpling slowly to the ground. It was the work of a second to pick up his gun. The sergeant stepped back into the cabin where King was holding Red and Charlie at bay. The sergeant called the two men to the door.
Over here, you two. Now bring him in here and put him on that cot.
All right. Sure.
Steele was brought into the cabin and Red bandaged his shoulder. Then the three men were marched back to Caribou. A week later, they were in Dawson. In jail, and on the day they were indicted for murder, Larry Summers met Mary Corwin and Sergeant Preston outside the courtroom.
It's all settled, Larry. The note Red held has been declared a forgery.
Which means the mine is yours.
I'm free to sell it.
Well, why should you?
Well, I can't work it myself.
How about me working it on shares?
Why, Larry, that would be wonderful. But it'll be some time before the mine starts paying.
I don't mind waiting.
All right, Larry. You've been a good friend. I'd like to have you as a partner.
And everything's settled.
As far as we three are concerned, at any rate, I'd say this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Boy, oh boy, the tender crispness and toasty nut-like flavor of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice really hit the target for taste.
Cover them with milk or thick yellow cream and sliced bananas or other fruit like fresh strawberries.
And there's a mouth-watering breakfast treat you just can't beat.
Enjoy it soon. How about tomorrow morning?
And say, better hurry to get the special new packages of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice at Grocer's now.
They give full details of the terrific offer of a Sergeant Preston camping outfit.
Don't wait a day, an hour, to send for your new waterproof prospector's tent.
Made of sturdy plastic and ready to set up outdoors or indoors.
Complete with poles and stakes. For only $1 and a box top from Quaker Puffed Rice or Wheat.
Hurry also to get the four-piece all-metal camp stove to cook hot dogs, bake potatoes, fry eggs.
A genuine camp stove for only 50 cents and a box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
Remember, you can get both tent and stove for two box tops and only $1.50.
Here's the address. Send to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And shake a leg so you can get your prospector's tent and camp stove before anybody else does in your gang.
Send right now, tonight, to Camping Outfit, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Inspector, have you any special orders before I start on patrol?
No, Sergeant, but I hope you'll be back here in Dawson before the first boat of the season arrives from the States.
Well, I'll make it a point to be here, sir, but may I ask why?
A man from the States is supposed to arrive on that boat. He helped build the state of Montana. He may do great things for the Yukon, if we impress him favorably.
You think I'd help make a favorable impression?
Well, if not, Sergeant, you'll be here to take care of those who might impress him otherwise.
Sergeant Preston little suspects that murderers and thieves are waiting for the man from the States, nor that his own life is to hang by a slender thread because he tries to aid the man from Montana. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flower Day, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday. On Thursday by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals, shot from guns. Only Quaker Pacotan has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pacotan, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pacotan has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pacotan. You'll be glad you did. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again. Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.